invitation will be song page 454.
Let the church say amen. God is good. And all the time, God is good. You know, we are gathered once again because of God's goodness. Not because we have been so good, but because of God's goodness. And we ought to be ever thankful for that. When I think about the alternative to this life that we live, I think I'll take this life. And hopefully it's a good life that I'm living. And hopefully you're living a good life as well, doing the will of the Father. Brother Bill, thank God for everything in mind. So I'm not going to try to, I'm going to go to God in prayer, but I want to just comment on Brother Bill's prayer. He prayed and thanked God for everybody and everything. Brother Juan did an excellent prayer this morning, and we need to say so when we need to. Let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of this day that you have given us. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of yesterday that have passed behind us. Thank you, Father, and we pray for the blessings of tomorrow that shall come before us, if it be your will. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done for us. And I thank you, O Heavenly Father, for being able to stand before the congregation this morning. I thank you, Father, for the congregation that I'm able to stand before. I thank you for each and every member in here this morning, Father. I pray for their family members as well. We thank you and pray for those who are sick and shut in, O Lord, especially those who are members of the household of faith. Father, we thank you that this morning we have been blessed enough to come out from our house and come into your house. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for sending Jesus to hang, bleed, and die on yonder's cross, that we may have a church to come to. Father, because he died for this congregation, for this church, the churches of Christ everywhere. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for the leaders in this congregation and their families. We pray for them and ask strength for them to continue on. We pray for each and every brethren who has taken a part in this service thus far, and for in their families, as well as each and every one that shall take a part in the services from this point and beyond. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, and Lord, I pray this morning that we will be doing things decently and in order this morning, and I pray for wisdom and knowledge that it may abound in all of us, O Lord, that we may receive that engrafted word, which is yours. Thank you, Father, and I pray once again, O Lord, for the families that are raising children in these tough economic times, as well as the tough times in general that we are facing. Father, thank you for everything that you do for us, and thank you, Father, for waking us up this morning, for you did not have to. Thank you, Father. And Lord, as we continue on now into our services, we pray and ask you to be with us, watch over us, and keep us, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus. We ask it all. Let us say, amen. This morning, Brother Bill read for your hearing from Psalms, the 37th chapter, the first 8 verses. We'll just simply go back over them. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth prospereth in his way because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. This morning we're going to talk for a little bit on God's peace in troubled times. God's peace in troubled times. Now most Christians know the Bible tell us that God can get troubles away from us if we but simply ask and believe. Now trouble comes in our lives at one time or another, but the Lord God has a cure for all who are troubled. Trouble is sometimes like a disease. It often causes us to have sleepless nights and long days. In our text today, we can find a prescription for peace, the peace of God. I caution Christians everywhere not to think that trouble only happens to non-believers, for it does not, for it happens to all. Job wrote that man that's born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Every time trouble comes our way, but God has a way to give us peace when trouble does come our way. We should look at the book of Job in chapter 14 in verse number 1 if you wanted to reread that scripture on your time, your study time. So the first verse tells us in chapter 37, Psalms 37, verse number 8, it says, "Fret not." Sometimes it gets hard and it's perplexing to Christians when it seems as though only the wicked get ahead. While many of us live day to day, paycheck or pension check to check, while others never seem to get sick, while some never seem to suffer, and we sometimes, it seems as though they not only never get sick, but they never need to go to the doctors. While we argue, some of us, with Medicare or our insurance companies about covering our medication that we so desperately need, the wicked seems to prosper even in times when we're suffering. But the Bible says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." Do not become irritated, in other words. Don't worry about those who seem to fare better than us. Because as Christians, the text tells us not to fret. Don't be envious against the workers of iniquity. Job dealt with this issue, this same issue, in Job chapter 21. Look over with me in Job chapter 21, around verse number 7, for a moment here with me. It says, "Wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, a mighty in power?" Job suffered that same dilemma that we sometimes suffer with, wondering why sometimes the wicked seems to prosper so much and we seem to be at a standstill. He was troubled like many of us today and couldn't figure out why the wicked seemed to prosper. Those who are wicked seem so high. Look at verse number 2, if you will, and this should give you an answer. "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." They shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as green herb. We find the psalmist had the same problem as Job did in Psalm 73 in verse number 3. He said, "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." But I want you to watch what he says in verse number 17 of that same text, that Psalm 73. He said, "Until I went to the sanctuary of God, then I understood therein. Until one meets the Lord and puts their faith and trust in Him, we may never understand why the wicked seems immune to trouble. We will never understand how God can take us from despair to assurance, from doubt to faith, until we listen to His Word and heed His Word." Sometimes it seems as trouble only finds each and every one of us. So I'll personalize it and say sometimes it seems as though trouble only finds me. But trouble finds everybody, because Job, as I quoted, already said that if you were born, you're going to have some trouble. So trouble comes to all. It just may not come to all at the same time that it does unto you. But then, once again, he says, for they shall for evil neither, from verse number 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. But then you ask yourself the question, some days you ask yourself, why me, Lord? And then I would answer to you, why not you? If Jesus was persecuted and ran into trouble, why should we not have trouble sometime? When I think about it, I ask myself the question, Lord, what can I do to get myself rid of some of these troubles? And I know what the answer is to go to the Word of the Lord. For the Word of the Lord is able to lift us up above all the troubles that we may have in this life. Now, God may not take the troubles away, but He may give you just an easing to bear the troubles and the burdens of this life. He may not take it away, but He'll make it easier to handle. So we must trust in the Lord. We may sometimes become afraid and think, does God really care about what I'm going through? We may get awfully depressed, but God always knows all about us. He knows about us whenever and whatever we may be in need of. For Philippians 4 and verse number 19 has something we need to consider. It says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, I like how the writer presents this. He presents the Lord as his personal God. He says, my God, but my God. He says, my God, how much will He supply? And Paul said He would supply all of our need according to His riches. He will do the same for all of us. I believe that He can be a personal God to all of us, but we must believe on Him. He does not do it in order that we may owe Him, but He does it because of grace and out of His love for us. But look at verse number 3. It says, trust in the Lord and do good, so shall thy dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Trust in the Lord and do good. Do you remember what the psalmist wrote in the same 24th verse of that same chapter? He says, I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. God will not leave His children without their daily needs. He will not leave His children without whatever they need to get by each and every day of their lives. God will not leave His children. But look at verse number 23 of that same text. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Do you understand that though the world is full of all kinds of trouble, God can make a path out of trouble for His children? But for our part, we can avoid some troubles by watching what we say and what we do. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 26, the Bible says, tells us to be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Now, this can be especially hard between spouses and families. I know sometimes the spouse can make another spouse mad. The children can become hard-headed and disobedient to their parents. But God says, the Bible says, trust in the Lord and do good so that thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily shalt thou be fed. Do good and trust in the Lord and do good. Then, when I think about it just for a little bit, I wonder sometimes if God really understands me. And then I have to but look to the Word of God to know, to understand that God knows everything about me and everything about each and every one of you as well. God knows all about what we're going through and He cares all about us. But sometimes the question becomes, do you care about God? Do you care enough that you would give God your very best? Then the Bible says in verses number 4 through verses 4, 5, and 7, the Bible says we find what we are to do. In verse number 4, it tells us to delight thyself in the Lord. Verse 5 tells us to commit thy way unto the Lord. And verse number 7 tells us to rest in the Lord. Now all three of these admonitions are pretty clear, but I'm going to break them down here if I may for a moment. I'm going to break them down a little further. Verse number 4 shows us the results of delighting in the Lord. The Lord God must become our guide and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Now this does not promise or it does not mean that He will grant all the cravings of your body. It simply means if you have the heart of a good man, and that is the heart of knowing and loving and living for God, then He'll grant you your heart's desires. In verse number five says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust in Him and He shall bring it to pass. Verse number 5 means the way to the Lord as in 1 Peter 5 and 7. It says, cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. So verse number 5 is telling us, commit thy way unto the Lord. In verse number 7, the Bible says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Rest in the Lord means to be patient, means to consider that that God works on His clock and not your watch. And He will do what He does best on His own time. When troubled times come our way, we must wait upon the Lord. In other words, when you turn it over to the Lord, you ought to leave it with the Lord. When you turn it over to Him, you're asking Him to take care of it because obviously you couldn't handle it in the first place. So you give it to Him, but some of us like to say, Lord, I think I'm going to get this back from you because I can do a better job of handling it than you. But the Bible says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Now some of us, we don't have that word patient in our vocabulary. We don't know what it means to be patient. We don't understand the theory of waiting and resting in the Lord. Resting in the Lord means that you just take your time and let God work it out. And God will work it out if you but let Him have it and leave it with Him. Then, when it says, wait patiently for Him, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. In other words, when you're waiting patiently on the Lord, you are allowing the Lord to do what He does best. And don't think that God doesn't know about it. God knows all about it. God knows about everybody and everything and at all times. But sometimes, when troubled times come our way, we just need to but wait. Look at verse number 8 of the text. It says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. See, the first thing that we want to do is we want to get people back for what they do unto us. We want to say, I'm going to take care of him or her for doing what he or she did to me. And then we start a war going on because you want to take over God's work. You want to say instead of turning it over and waiting and resting in the Lord and waiting patiently for Him, you figure you'll handle it your way. But I want you to notice something in verse number 29 of Psalms 37. Look what the Bible says in 29. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. Oh, it's going to come to pass. It's going to all work out. But you got to wait and rest in the Lord. God knows where to find us. He knows us in our troublesome time. He knows when we're being persecuted. He understands what we're going through. And He knows He knows what any of us are going through at any time and anywhere. But God has given us a plan to be at peace with the world and with our troubles. No matter who or what brings troubles to us, God can see us through it. Troubles won't last forever, but with God's peace, they are even shorter lived. Troubles can be upsetting sometimes. Trouble can cause us to bring more troubles on ourselves. If it's family troubles, if it be job troubles, even when the church folk are causing you trouble or causing us trouble, God is there with His peace. All we have to do is ask in prayer. In 1 John chapter 3, in the verses number 22, the Bible says, whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandment and do the things which are pleasing in His sight. But you know, when you ask for something, a lot of times you don't believe what you're asking for. You don't believe that God can handle it. And I say to you, I ask the question of you, if you don't believe that God can fix it, why are you bothering to ask Him? I think that God can fix all things and everything, for I'm a firm believer in the fact that there's nothing that's impossible for God. So then, when I think about these things, what John wrote in 1 John there, in other words, we must be right with Him before we ask. If we want the peace of God, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 7, the peace of God which passeth all understanding, so keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You've got to understand that God can surpass everything that you desire, everything that you can think of. It can all come through Christ Jesus. When we don't understand how God does it, praise Him anyway. When we don't understand His ways that are beyond our ways, we've got to learn to be thankful. We've got to learn to praise Him in good times and praise Him in bad times. Praise Him in the rainy days as well as the sunny days. Praise Him for the blessings He gave us yesterday, and praise Him for the blessings that He shall give us tomorrow. Just praise His name and be ever thankful to Him. And I know what some of us are thinking now. It's coming up to Thanksgiving. And that's the time a lot of folks are going to start thanking God. But I say thank God each and every day of your life. For God has done something for you. If He didn't do anything but wake you up this morning, that's something. That's something you have to be praising God for. Praising God in everything. And you know, when you sit down and break a piece of bread, you ought to praise God for that piece of bread that you're about to eat. Praise Him not only for that whole slice, but praise Him for the piece that you're going to eat as well. Praise God for all that He does for us. And thank God for each and everything that He does for us. So the text says, as I go over it and as I bring this message down to its end, look what the Bible says once again. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be envious against the workers of iniquity. They may hurt you, but they can't keep you down forever. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. We've got to trust in Him and do good, church. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his ways, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. And I like the final verse. It says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Don't think about evil. Don't get so irritated and uptight and that makes you want to get somebody back. Just commit thy way. God has a plan to get you out of troubled times or get you through troubled times. But we have to follow the Bible. We have to do the will and follow the Word of God if we want to enjoy the peace of God. You know, I'm reminded of the one text in the Bible where Jesus was asleep in the boat and a storm arose. And somebody asked Jesus, they said, do you care not if we perish? And Jesus simply got up and said, peace, be still. And the waves ceased and the storm, the sea calmed itself down and the wind stopped blowing. Peace. And I tell you something about peace. Peace is a good thing. Peace is a blessing. If you live in a house where there's never any peace, you know what I'm talking about. If you go to work on a job where it's always trouble, you know what I'm talking about. If you go to school where there's nothing but trouble for your children, you know what I'm talking about. Peace can get you through the storms of life. Peace can get you through troubled times. Peace will get you through this life. And all you got to do is but go to God and give your troubles over to Him. Let Him handle it for you. Because if you're like me, troubles do come. And sometimes when troubles come, you're never ready for them. Most of the time, I should say, you're never ready for them. But they still come whether you're ready or not. So you need somebody on your side. But you must believe in that somebody, and that somebody is God. And some say, well, preacher, I used to believe in God, but I found out that I still have trouble even though I believe in Him. Well, you're going to have trouble. But one thing I tell you, God can make the troubles easier to bear. He can even take them away if He desires to. So how do I get this peace through God? Well, you come to God by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. The water is ready. The baptizer is ready. The person who baptizes is ready. All you have to do is come forward. So I ask you, are you ready? And then if you've already taken these steps, but some way you've fallen off the track, you can come back by asking God to forgive you, coming forward, asking the church to pray that you may grow strong as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.